Legal Matters.
And we talk about cannabis in the workspace and its effects. What does the law say about that reality? Kalebowe Mudisapudi is my guest, employment relations and employment benefits consultant, accredited commercial mediator who's partnered with Mulauti Advisory Service. Kalebowe, good evening to you, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Babs. How are you?
I'm good, man. Do you listen to jazz?
I spent the entire weekend listening to jazz because
it couldn't have been any other way, man. It couldn't have been any other way, yeah?
This was my birth month and my birth weekend, so I had no choice but to imbibe jazz since it is the heart that it's the music that soothes my soul. So,
are you serious?
I had a bit of that. Indeed.
Was your birthday this past weekend?
Yes, it was.
Well, my birthday was this past weekend too.
Well, I turned 25 again, so it was a good one.
I turned 15.
Wonderful.
Let's talk about cannabis, otherwise people might think we are under the influence of cannabis as we talk about these ages in these terms.
There I know that risk indeed.
I know that there is no law in South Africa against the possession, the private possession, and maybe even the use of cannabis for anybody. But there are things we need to consider as far as the workspace is concerned. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Perhaps, I think historically, cannabis was a prohibited drug. It was one of those that you were not allowed to possess, to plant, or even to harvest.
Yeah.
So it was an illegal drug.
Yeah.
The situation changed a few years ago with a constitutional court judgment in the Prince case. Prince was an attorney in the Western Cape, who basically challenged the constitutionality of the criminalization of the use of cannabis. Fortunately for him and for those who have had a need for it, the court found in his favor, and cannabis was then decriminalized.
Mm.
So the law as it stands at the moment, effectively, there is absolutely nothing wrong with owning, possessing and using cannabis for private use. I think it's largely medicinal that most people use it.
Sure.
The challenge, though, becomes its effect on the individual that uses it. Now, the general practice in industry is that for health and safety reasons, alcohol and substances, or drug substances, are prohibited from the world of work. But I think you and I have for some time been talking about the constitutionalization of the law.
Yeah.
And then how it gets into this space then is that once you talk about cannabis in particular and specifically in relation to its medicinal use, then you're talking about something very private.
Yeah.
So as Madea says in one of the movies, what I do with my cannabis should be known, never mind to the law at all.
Yeah.
when I do that in the privacy of my home. Now, the challenge when you compare cannabis and alcohol is that generally alcohol gets out of your system within 24 hours, it's out, if not less. I have a friend in operations who has the exact amount of time it stays in your system before it's completely out.
Yes.
But with cannabis, it stays longer in your system. So the company policies generally say when you are tested and you are found to be under the influence, or you have a substance or alcohol in your system, you are not permitted at the workplace.
Mm.
And you can come back and test in 24 hours. So in 24 hours, alcohol will be out, but cannabis would still be in
Right.
because it stays longer in the system, which then gets into the question of, is it now crossing the line into?
Even when we are, I suppose it's, yeah, but even when we're using it for medicinal purposes, yeah? I've just asked the
Yes.
question, but it sounds really stupid now that I've asked it. Because obviously, yes,
Even
Rob, yeah?
when you use it for medicinal purposes. So
Right.
if you have a long 12-hour day at work and you come home and you puff a joint or two in the privacy of your home, maybe listening to jazz or even classical music, that's your business. And you wake up and go to work tomorrow, you are not puffing it at work. So it should be no business of the employer that you had cannabis the night before, generally speaking. But then it then depends on whether on the type of job you do and the risk that you either expose to yourself or you may expose others.
Yes.
So as a practical example, if you are operating machinery, forklift drivers, some product manufacturing machinery, an employer would generally want you to have a consistent state of sobriety. So any substance in your system may likely put you or others at risk. So on that basis, then you're not allowed to use either alcohol or any drugs. But if you work in an office and you do not use any machinery and you are able to function well in the course of your working day, having puffed a shot or two the night before,
Yes.
it shouldn't be an issue. So it's the determining factor is the inherent requirements of the job.
Yes. Okay. So so
So
so so so
that's where the line may be drawn, yeah.
yeah. So it appears to me that the if ever there was a controversy would be between the idea that you have the right to the use of cannabis in private versus what that right can then do to the shared workspace,
Indeed.
particularly if the kind of work that you do may have the effect that it involves others in potentially dangerous situation.
Indeed. You have that right.
So can in light of the fact that we have this right to use cannabis privately, can an employer then have a situation where he says, look, I'm going to have mandatory impromptu tests, given the nature of the work that we do here, against the fact that we have this right to use cannabis privately.
Indeed, an employer can do that. But once again, with the use of cannabis at home being a private matter, it gets into the Bill of Rights. So there are two specific rights that it has an impact on. The first one is Section 10 of the Bill of Rights, which is the right to human dignity. And I'll explain a bit later what that means. And the second one is the right to privacy. Now, I've already outlined a little bit what it means in relation to the right to privacy. So whether I have a joint at home after work should be no, never mind to my employer. It's none of their business at all. But they also have an obligation in terms of Section 8 of the Occupational Health and Safety Act to ensure a safe working environment. So if you come to work then under the influence of either alcohol or any drug, then you are at risk to yourself and other employees. And the employer then has the responsibility to mitigate that risk. And a part of that is then subjecting you to some tests and then having some rules. We then say, if you then have this registered when you do the test, then you are not permitted to be at work because you are at you may put the risk, the safety of other employees at risk.
Yeah.
But the question that then comes into the picture would be whether or not that policy is an affront on your right to human dignity. Because it then means that they may need to take your blood to then test whether or not you had the substance. And testing is slightly different between cannabis and
alcohol. Yeah.
And alcohol. You can use a breathalyzer for alcohol just as an early indicator before you do anything further, like invading one's personal dignity, like taking their blood test, etc. But with cannabis, it's not that simple. So it then starts playing into the human dignity and the privacy space. Now, these two rights in the bill can obviously be limited. There's a specific provision in the Constitution that allows for the limitation of the right. I think it's Section 36 of the Constitution. Then says the right can be limited. And the basis for limiting this right, your right to have cannabis, for example, at work would be balancing your right to smoke at home with the right to other employees to have a safe working environment when you may be exposing them to risk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one element that will then feature in the assessment. But the other element would be whether or not when you've had cannabis, you are able to discharge your duties.
Yeah.
So generally, when you have had alcohol, a bit too much of it, it's not possible for you to do your job.
Yeah.
You can't stand on one foot for a while, but with cannabis, you may very well do so. So if your work is not impaired, then the limitation would not be justified. So an employer can have a broad policy that says you cannot have cannabis or you cannot come to work under the influence of cannabis. It has to be related to the inherent requirements of your job.
So I'm interested, as I ask this question, I'm interested how is the limitation of rights curated in order for it to be functional and logical in real life? Because I also get the sense that there are things that happen in law that make sense on paper, but sometimes maybe don't make so much sense in real life. I'm interested how then those two rights, that of the employer to make sure that one, the person who is working in a particular environment does so functionally and safely under the influence of cannabis, so that his right to private usage of cannabis is not violated, but also the right of the person who uses cannabis to use cannabis privately without putting the lives and the lives of others at the workplace in danger, and also put his work in jeopardy. How does that get regulated? How is that aggregated and then regulated?
Well, it flows from the general principles. So I think this is one of the jurisprudential discussions we had previously.
Yep.
Around where exactly do you strike the balance? In this instance, the balance would be struck considering that, amongst others, privacy is goes to the heart of most of the rights in the Bill of Rights. If you're talking about the right to freedom of religion, you're talking about the right to political association, you talk about the right to freedom and security, the right to equality, all of them have to do with the right to privacy. So it is at a very heart of essentially the Bill of Rights itself. Now, for you to limit that right, there has to be a lot of weight that tilts in favor of the limitation. So as an example, as I said, in the world of work, one of the things that will be under consideration is when you have taken cannabis, are you still able to do your job? Are you still able to function effectively in your job? So that's one of the consideration. The next consideration would be, are you in full command of your faculties such that you would realize when there is likely to be an accident from your conduct? And can you react or act swiftly to mitigate that risk against others? And if cannabis then inhibits your ability to do so, then chances are it's likely to expose others to the risk of you then causing injury at work. So there's a number of considerations that then get used to then balance. So it's not a fixed set of criteria, but it's all of those things that you then look at, including the inherent requirements of the job.
Yeah, yeah.
So as an example, a forklift driver, one of the restrictions that you have in the job is that, which is inherent, is that you must not be colorblind. Because in the world of work, color coding is used to indicate this is a pedestrian walkway, this is a safe zone, this is an unsafe zone. So if you're colorblind, you cannot work there. So your right to work then gets limited on the basis of your working there is going to firstly expose you to risk, but it's also going to expose others to the risk of you not being able to see that there's a color red that says red for danger, don't enter.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's those considerations that are relevant to what's called the inherent requirements of the job.
Give us a call at 11-883-0702. Do you partake in the pleasures of the holy herb? Yeah, maybe for medicinal reasons. Yes, and maybe even for religious reasons. That's the way that you climb up the stairs into... What do they call those stairs? The seven steps into the other dimensions. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. But how does that affect your work? Do the people at work know that you participate, you partake of the holy herb? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 11-883-0702. Should a practitioner of the holy herb disclose to their employer that they are such?
It's a private matter. They don't have to. As long as it's not affecting their work, they don't have to.
Sure. But if I'm thinking now in terms of this reasonable man test, if I know that my work, I'm a forklift driver and I need to be color conscious, but I am a conscientious user of cannabis. Would a reasonable man be expected to disclose this?
It's a delicate one, but one of the things I think that will come into the equation in terms of evaluating efficacy or the risk inherent in there is what is the effect of cannabis on your system in relation to your ability to do work. So if it has, and depending on how long and when you have had it in your system, I think over time the impact will reduce. But I suppose if you've had it fresh, it's strong, and it has the effect of transcendentally transporting you. It might put your ability to manage risk at issue if in a work environment you're supposed to be expected to be practical, to be here, but you transcendental. So it might pose a challenge that way. So it also then depends on how the employer policies stipulate the issues that are inherent in the job. So a recent court judgment has said, for example, the although the employer has the responsibility of ensuring safety at work, they cannot go overboard in their stipulation by putting together or stipulating general rules. So if I smoke cannabis at home and it has no impact on my work, you cannot stop me from getting to work because I have cannabis in my system. Because then you're effectively forcing me to choose between cannabis, which I'm using for either relaxation or medicinal purposes in the comfort and privacy of my home, and I absolutely don't use it at all during working hours. And in terms of the law, then you're forcing me to choose between using the herb and staying employed. And that choice being imposed on an employee was recently held to be an unfair choice to make.
And therefore unlawful.
Therefore unlawful. So if a policy is that broad, then it has gone overboard and it will be invalidated.
Let's talk to Utsile in Johannesburg. Good evening to you, Utsile.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Go ahead. What's your question for Halebo?
Yes, sir. My question is, how do I go about if ever I was dismissed for using a particular herb at that time? Because let's say, for instance, Mr. Koshi has been saying, I used to deal with gases, you understand?
Yeah.
But then with those gases, I used to do my work pretty good. Even so, I'm still using, you understand?
Yeah.
There wasn't any how do I put it, any harm that I could pose on anyone because I did my job quite efficient. But then I was singled out by this particular lady where she actually complained about the service of the company, but she wasn't complaining about me per se, but then she mentioned how I came reeking of the particular herb, of which I was actually having something called a biri, which is something different, but then it kind of like smells like the herb, you understand?
Yeah.
After that, I did go into the investigation. I was put on hearing for 2 weeks. And then after that, we went to like the hearing after like the proceedings and all of that stuff. But then they dismissed me. Okay, cool. After dismissing me, I tried to like go to CCMA to try to at least get my job back. But then these guys sent a lawyer to actually dismiss anything that I would actually come or rather bring forward. So I don't know, like, how do I go about...
Just two quick questions from me, Utsile. Was there any possibility that your use of whatever substance you were using could have put other people in danger in the execution of your job?
No, sir. It definitely didn't. Not even by a single chance.
Yeah. And there was no suggestion, perhaps, in the accusation that maybe your behavior was somehow detrimental to the relationship that your company and the company that you were executing your duties, that it might in any way have been jeopardized in one way or the other?
Not of it, sir, because what happened was, had that lady not said anything,
yeah,
I still have my job. You understand?
Let me be direct, Utsile, if you don't mind. Can I be direct with you?
Please, sir. Please, sir.
Could you have maybe said something that was flirtatious to the lady under the influence?
Nope.
All right. Khaliboy?
Well, perhaps it will be interesting to find out exactly what the charge was and the reason for the dismissal. Because the caller doesn't specify whether he was dismissed for substance use or whether it was putting the company's name in disrepute or whether it was behavioral or whether it was a service level concern raised by a customer or a client.
Yeah.
So all of those things are relevant to then determine what the issue is.
Yeah.
Because if the case was such that he was effectively charged and dismissed for, to put it differently, reputational reasons. In other words, it had nothing to do with his use of the drug, but the perceptual or social issues of the drug.
Yeah.
Then it's a different matter altogether.
Yes.
But it's quite important to understand exactly the reasons for the what were the reasons for the dismissal.
But it appears also that it wasn't cannabis. It was another. It wasn't cannabis. It was another drug that smells like cannabis, at least according to the caller, and that. That is really where the story starts, that the lady that raised the issue with his employer, where his company was rendering a service. So the lady was using the company that he was working for the rendition of a particular service, smelt this particular herb or particular, shall we call it, drug, on the breath of Utsile. And for that reason, raised the issue with his employer, and for that reason, he was then dismissed. But yeah, no clear, I suppose, and unfortunately, he's gone as to exactly what the issue was. Yeah,
I think it will be quite important to understand what exactly the reasons were, because it doesn't sound like, from what he said, he was dismissed for the use of the drug, but it may be reputational what it meant to be coming to work smelling of a drug, whether it's cannabis or any other drug.
Yeah.
But it's a reputational issue as opposed to a misconduct issue.
Right. Dikeledi Wakamalevia says, may you ask our guest if the law permits an employer to take an employee for multi-drug testing post-injury on duty?
It depends on the circumstances. So if in the workplace, there'll be normally a quick assessment to check whether or not you're under the influence. Is your speech slurry? Are your eyes reddish, blurry? Can you walk a straight line? And then to confirm whether or not you are under influence, you may be subjected to test and some kind of test, which you have to consent to in any event. But you have the right not to consent to those tests, but you must understand that adverse inferences may be drawn from that, that you are refusing because you know for a fact that you may have taken substances which are prohibited. And you have to keep in mind that the obligation on the employer is to keep the workplace safe. And there's the likelihood, if you are under influence, that you may put the safety of others at risk. And the employer cannot allow that. Because if that happens, for example, the immediate person that's going to be in trouble is the CEO of that organization, because the Occupational Health and Safety Act puts primary responsibility on the CEO of the company to ensure safety at work. So you may be subjected to those tests depending on the circumstances leading to the question coming up for consideration.
Thomas is in Motswedi. Tom?
Good evening, Probs.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Sure.
Yeah, my preamble is that I must not be misconstrued, you know, with my comment.
You're already pleading for clemency here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mustn't be misconstrued. You know, my mother is 83 years old this year.
Yeah.
She was operated upon by a professor from Israel in 1975.
Yeah.
The operation was, he was operating on her thyroid gland.
Yeah.
So the professor had a chat with my mother, and then she was explaining the whole process to her. about the whole operation. Mm. And then she told my mom that I'm using cannabis and I'm smoking it. Mm. So do you allow me to operate on you having used cannabis? If not, then we can talk to the hospital superintendent and another person can operate on you. My mother said, no, you can go on. I mean, the way you explained to me the whole process, I'm convinced that it will be a success.
Sure.
And since then, she's still alive. Mm. She was operated 49 years ago.
Yes.
By a person who's using cannabis. Now, in a nutshell, sometimes it enhances a person's capabilities. You know, so some people, even footballers, even some lawyers, you know, advocates, attorneys, they, even judges, some of them, they use it.
Yeah.
But because they understand that their vocation, they are people of with high regard,
sure.
They necessarily, they don't misuse, you know. I think it depends on the dose. You know, it's just like alcohol or any, you know, other legal drugs, mm-hmm. you know. So some people, the thing is that it may disadvantage some people, you know, on sporting codes, for instance.
Sure.
We are running and you don't use it, I use it. And because of it stimulates
it
me.
It can be a performance enhancer of sorts, perhaps, yeah?
Yes, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And that way it
can be, I suppose, understood as an unfair competitive advantage by some minds. But let's hear what Kalibuwe has to say. Let me add this to what Thomas says. Dos Santos says, evening Orbs and the team, interesting topic. I'm really in future interested in farming cannabis, legally in future. It seems a good business and can create a lot of jobs. Big up to your show. What does the law say about that, Kalibuwe? Let me put it this way. The private, before you answer the commercial sort of planting of cannabis, can you plant it privately?
Absolutely. As I said earlier, quoting Madea, what I do in the privacy of my home is no never mind to anybody.
Right.
Okay. As long as in the process, I don't violate anybody else's rights. So if I plant one that I use on me for myself, whether medicinally or just recreationally, it's nobody's business. It's my private matter.
Okay. And what do you make of what Thomas has to say about the fact that a physician, a surgeon, in fact, was quite forthright about disclosing to his mom all those years ago that he's a user of cannabis and he was quite competent. Mom is still alive. She's in her 80s. He was forthright. He disclosed. What about that?
Perhaps one of the things I have learned in my 25 years of life on earth is that you are never amazed enough by what you pick up as you grow.
Yep.
So when I grew up, for example, I stayed away from anything that is to be smoked, inhaled. So
yep.
Cigarette. Drugs, I stayed away from all of those.
Yep.
So I had a particular idea about cannabis use. So I was prejudiced against the use and the users.
Yep.
Until I met a friend. She's a senior executive. She's very smart. And she uses cannabis recreationally, not very regularly, but she has the sweet spot for how it works for her.
Yeah,
and I've come to keeping an open mind as I always do. I've come to accept that we don't always know enough about the world.
Sure.
So I think the principle I always apply is whatever you use in moderation can never harm you. And the same applies to alcohol. The problem starts when we start abusing things.
No, I think I agree with you. I think cannabis was successfully demonized.
Absolutely.
Successfully so. And if you go just a little bit further in history, you begin to understand that cannabis was used for many, many reasons, even by people of the cloth to get closer, I suppose, to the heavenly realms and to interpret so many other different things. I have a friend of mine, Mahlangu, he's a builder. Mapogo is an excellent builder. He's actually a bricklayer and a plasterer. He's excellent. I mean, his skills are sublime. He does things with cement and bricks that will mesmerize you. He's a practitioner. He enjoys the holy herb immensely. He says to me that if he doesn't partake of his cannabis, he doesn't find the joy that brings out his artistic, I suppose, nature when he builds. He builds some of the most beautiful homes for people, but only when he is, shall we say, under the influence?
Or inspired.
Let's call it inspired. Listen, are we talking constitution on Thursday?
It depends on what the topic is, bro. Ops. I'm always game for engagement.
I'm told on
matters of interest.
I'm told, and I'm going to take you back to Usin Tateng, but I'm told the topic has something to do with are South Africans as a population well versed enough with the constitution to live with it. Something to that effect. But I'm going to send you back to Usin Tateng and she'll let you know. And if possible, I'm really looking forward to talking to you and another guest on Constitutionally Speaking on Thursday.
Yeah, thank you, Brabs. Much appreciated.
How do we get in touch with you, my brother?
The usual number with the Latoria Attorneys or Advisory Services, 071-471-6266, and available on the website as well.
And happy belated birthday, my brother, and happy 25th year of your life.